Ghana is to become the biggest gas investment hub in West Africa, following the conclusion of negotiations to start a $7 billion OCTP Sankofa gas project in the country. The project, which has been endorsed by the World Bank and the International Finance Corporation, IFC, will strategically position Ghana as a force to reckon with in the oil and gas industry. The investment in the Sankofa project is coming on board after the inauguration of the $1 billion Ghana gas project to supply about half of the country's daily LPG requirements. Speaking at the media press series in Accra, the Minister of Petroleum, Emmanuel Amakufibua, said Cabinet has given approval for the interconnection of the Ghana gas pipeline to the West Africa pipeline to ensure that gas is made available without hitches. The media press series involving the Minister of Petroleum took place against the backdrop of a threat by Nigeria to cut gas supply to Ghana. It is in this regard that the minister was upbeat in his submission when he announced another huge investment in the oil and gas sector, giving a catalogue of interventions by the ministry to solve the challenges in the sector. Mr. Buad said a second major project, the Trinebua Enyira Ntome project, is poised to start oil production by the middle of 2016 with the inauguration of FPSO Atta Mills.
Petroleum price liberalization has induced intense competition among petroleum service providers in the country. The ministry's flagship project, the Rural LPG Promotion Project, has continued unabated and is being scaled up. The restructuring of bus has seen a turnaround in the performance of this strategic national asset, which is now successfully fulfilling its mandate of ensuring availability of strategic stocks. Cabinet has given approval for the interconnection of the Ghana gas pipeline to the West Africa gas pipeline. On regulations, the local content LI that was passed in 2013 is already empowering Ghanaians, as has been envisioned. In our quest to ensure greater transparency and prudent management of this finite resource, the ministry has concluded its parliamentary engagement of the new exploration and production bill and expect a debate to commence when parliament resumes. The stakeholder engagement on our gas master plan has been concluded and the plan is ready for cabinet. I can confidently say that Ghana has permanently taken a seat in the League of Nations of Oil Producers.
He stated that the Jubilee oil fields from last year to date have produced 152 million barrels of oil. Mr. Bua said currently there is collaboration between Talo Ghana and Cosmos Energy, supported by the GNPC, to integrate nearby discoveries in the Westgate 3 Points block with the Jubilee fields to maximize production. Crude oil, he noted, has assumed a significant proportion of total exports, rising from 21.7% in 2011 to 28.7% in 2014, while petroleum revenue as a share of overall revenue has surged from 5.4% to 13.1% during the same period. The petroleum sector announced the approval of a project for work to start on the Voltaire Basin, which will include acquisition of 2,000 kilometers of 2D seismic data and the drilling of two wells to unearth the potential of the basin. The minister, however, deferred questions on the status of VRA's indebtedness to NGAS and measures put in place to remedy the situation, reserving the questions for the high power delegation to Nigeria, headed by Minister of Power, Dr. Kwabena Donko. Former President John Ajikum Kufuor says the Electoral Commission is answerable to the people of Ghana and should heed to the demand for a new voters register. Former President Kufuor said this when leaders of Let My Vote Count Alliance paid a courtesy call on him in Accra yesterday. The former president said he backed the group's call for a new register, adding that he believes making the register credible will clear all doubts about it. The pro-NPP group is pushing the party's position that the current register is bloated with names of at least 76,000 foreigners.
I do not need any urging or plea to take a stand with citizens demanding accountability and transparency from any state institution, including the Electoral Commission. The sovereignty of the land really issues from the people. This is why we vote. Suppose we could do the Hellenic democracy, then all the citizens of Ghana perhaps would meet somewhere and then take part in governance. But the world has moved, and with population explosion, the world is using representative democracy. And so the citizens use their vote, indicating their power, to pick people to represent them in their diaspora, whether it's the legislature or even the executive. And so if a citizen and the people demanding needn't even be majority of the people, if truly some section of the people or most of the people or whatever should feel that they need to be sure of the quality of the vote deciding who should govern, then those people should be entitled. And the Electoral Commission is accountable to the people generally. The Electoral Commission is not a power unto itself. I think this should be made clear. Yes, the Constitution provides for its independence, but that same Constitution has as its cornerstone accountability and transparency. Accountability to the source of power, and that source is the people, the citizenry. The Electoral Commission is accountable, and our Electoral Commission must be transparent. The cost of having a faulty election cannot be imagined. I had the opportunity, as I was reminded, to see what transpired in Kenya. Within the short space of about a month, about 1,500 people got slaughtered. We are not counting the other properties destroyed. I was in Cote d'Ivoire. I led some observer teams to observe the election, the last one. And in fact, the coming election, again, I'm leading a group to observe in that country. I led a team to observe the last Nigerian election. And the one before that, too, I led the team to observe. So I've seen what faulty elections can do to otherwise peaceful people. Ghana has escaped so far some of the devastations that overtook those lands.
Former President John Ajikun Kufo. The 2016 presidential candidate of the MPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, is in Holland to attend an international conference of the party, which will bring together all NPP international branches to deliberate on the future of the party. The three-day conference in the Netherlands, which forms part of a three-nation tour being embarked on by Nana Akufo-Addo, will see him visit the United States of America and Canada as well. Whilst in the United States from October 18 to October 25, Nana Akufo-Addo will address the Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday, October 20. He will also pay a visit to U.S. government officials, including Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, Ambassador Linda Thomas-Greenfield, and U.S. Senators, including Senator Jeff Flake, the Republican Chair of the Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee on Africa. The flag bearer will attend NPP programs in Washington, New York, and Columbus, where his wife, Mrs. Rebecca Akufo-Addo, will be the special guest of honor at an event organized by the NPP USA Women's Wing. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. NGAS has sent threat to cut gas supply to Ghana over its indebtedness as 10 power plants are expected in the country next week. Ghana to become biggest gas investment hub in West Africa. President Mahama and World Bank president to launch end of poverty report today. And EU offers Turkey 3 billion euros to ease flow of migrants to Europe. We are back after the break. You all come back. The Supreme Court has adjourned indefinitely the suit by the Ghana Bar Association GPA and two others challenging appointment of Justices Yawapau and Gabriel Paman to the country's highest court. The court, presided over by Justice William Atuga, granted a motion by the Attorney General to file a statement of case within 14 days, following the directives of the court at its last sitting in July. The court on its own consolidated the cases of two other applicants, Richard De La Sky and Kwaku Dansue Champo, to that of the GBA. Here is a report on proceedings by correspondent Amasewa Abediakon.
Chief State Attorney Sylvester Williams, who moved the motion on behalf of the state, said the Attorney General is out of time because it had to conduct further search for some vital information on the case. The court was particularly unhappy with the procedural errors on the part of the Attorney General and advised that the AG as the leader of the bar should demonstrate best practice. The court also expressed reservation about AG praying for an extension of time in constitutional matters involving the state. Counsel for the Bar Association, Tadi Sori, was not opposed to the motion but was concerned about the Attorney General's representation for itself and the Judicial Council, which is the second defendant. Two other suits also on the appointment by the President, filed by Richard Sky and lawyer Kwaku Dansue Champo, were consolidated with that of the GBA. The Ghana Bar Association is seeking a declaration that the appointment of Supreme Court judges Yao Apo and Gabriel Puaman violates Article 144 of the 1992 Constitution.
Amasewa Abediakon reporting. The Judicial Service is appealing to the public to limit the number of people who accompany them to attend proceedings at the new court complex. This is because the new court rules do not have the capacity to accommodate extra people apart from those involved in the proceedings. In a media briefing in Accra, a justice of the Court of Appeal and supervisory judge of the complex, Justice Dennis Ejayi, advised that those whose presence may not be necessary, especially parties not directly linked to the case, may not need to be present at the hearings.
We are not saying that people should not come here in their numbers to attend court and witness case, but there is a challenge now. As we know, the courts of this building is 1,043 courtrooms, and each court has a sitting capacity of 50. What we have observed is that in respect of one case, you may get 60 or 50 people accompanying one of the parties to the court. So when they come, it becomes difficult to accommodate them, and you see most of them hanging around the court premises. So it is a plea that we are making that people should come to court, but we are pleading with them that they should limit the number to enable the building to accommodate all of them. Particularly in land and criminal matters, in one matter, you get 40, 50, 60 people following just one person to the courtroom. And knowing that one courtroom alone may have about 20 cases in a day. So if followers of one party or one person occupy the whole court, what happened to the other 19 people who have their cases to be heard in the court?
A justice of the Court of Appeal, Justice Dennis Ejayi, briefing the media on some of the challenges in the new court complex. President Mahama will be joined by the President of the World Bank, Jim Yong Kim, today to launch the End of Poverty Report in Accra. The launch of the event is a first step towards drawing up national plans to end extreme poverty by 2030. At the last UN General Assembly in New York, countries signed on to a new set of sustainable development goals, which many have described as ambitious. The World Bank President Jim Yong Kim will be accompanied by development partners, innovators and civil society leaders to reflect on the common measures adopted by Ghana to reduce poverty and highlight what is needed for further progress. Ghana's economy continues to be challenged due to a number of internal fiscal factors like debt burden and external shocks, including falling commodity prices. Over the years, the World Bank Group has supported Ghana with more than $2 billion. The World Bank Group has promised to continue to offer government support for their works to eradicate poverty in the form of shared knowledge, innovative financing, and capacity building. The UN Resident Coordinator in Ghana, Christine Evans-Clark, says Africa receives 36% of the organization's expenditure for her development. This, she says, represents the largest share among the world's regions. Ms. Evans-Clark attributed this to the priority the organization gives the continent. The UN resident representative said this at a news conference ahead of the organization's 70th anniversary next week. She said the fundamental principle of the organization remains unchanged, though the challenges of the world today are different from what obtained 70 years ago. Joyce Jetche has more.
The UN will be commemorating its 70th anniversary on the 24th of this month. The day is set aside every year to appreciate the wisdom that was shown at the end of World War II, create a new international decorum among nations to promote peace, human development, and safeguard human rights. At 70, the organization has come a long way in promoting peace, security, and democracy, despite some shortfalls. At a news conference ahead of the day, the organization's coordinator in Ghana, Christine Evans-Clark, enumerates what the organization is doing to address the needs of Africa.
It is now engaged in helping countries in Africa deal with regional and interregional concerns, such as fighting tropical diseases and halting the spread of pandemics, supporting safe migration, stopping interregional drug and human trafficking, promoting fair trade, and coping with global climate change.
Ms. Evans-Clark said the Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, which world leaders endorsed last month in New York, is integrated in Ghana's 40-year development plan.
Joyce Jetche reporting. At least 30 people have died after two explosions at a mosque near the northeastern Nigerian city of Maiduguri. According to officials, a suicide bomber detonated an explosive inside a mosque in the suburb of Mulai, while another bomber struck as people tried to escape. The city is often targeted by the Islamist group Boko Haram, but no group has yet claimed responsibility for the attack. The European Union has offered Turkey €3 billion in aid and the prospect of easier travel visas. It hopes this action plan for Turkey will ease the flow of migrants to Europe. Nearly 600,000 migrants have reached the EU by sea so far this year, many of them traveling from Turkey to Greece before seeking to head for the north. Turkey has made a number of demands in exchange for helping to stem the flow. At a press conference in Brussels, the President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, said he's cautiously optimistic about the deal. And now to end the news and look at some of the stories that made the headlines. There are indications that NGAS has suspended its threat to cut gas supply to Ghana over VRS indebtedness to the company. Meanwhile, 10 power plants with 25 megawatts capacity each to boost the country's energy needs are scheduled to arrive at the Takoradi Harbor next week. Ghana is to become the biggest gas investment hub in West Africa following the conclusion of negotiations to start a $7 billion OCTP Sankofa gas project in the country. The project, which has been endorsed by the World Bank and the IFC, will strategically position Ghana as a force to reckon with in the oil and gas industry. President John Dramani Mahama and President of the World Bank Jim Yong Kim will today launch the End of Poverty Report in Accra. The European Union has offered Turkey 3 billion euros in aid to help ease easier travel visas. The flow, it hopes this action for Turkey will ease the flow of migrants to Europe. The news was presented by Ibrahim.